the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
What's the next target for Bitcoin? Bitcoin smashed through 2 million rand last week and has been hovering around that level since then. It ended 2024 with an impressive gain of around about 150%. Remember, it hit the 1 million mark back in November 2021 before entering a bear market, which saw it drop nearly 70%. Now, is it going to be a similar story this time? I guess the difference between 2021 and now is the entry of institutions to Bitcoin via exchange-traded funds and the arrival in the U.S. White House of a crypto-friendly administration. So a lot has changed in the last year. Bitcoin wasn't the best-performing crypto of 2024, not by a long way. Elon Musk's favorite, Dogecoin, was up 333% for the year. Pepe, another memecoin, was up more than 1,500%. XRP was up more than 300%. Well, I think it's time we had a look into the latest in the crypto market, and we're joined once again by Shivan Mudli, who's a macro strategist at 88. Welcome back, Shivan. It was an extraordinary year for crypto and Bitcoin, but what stood out for you?
Hey, Kieran. Yeah, it's good to be back. Overall, I think when we last spoke, a lot of the macro scenarios that I had patented out sort of evolved, and some of them have played out the way I sort of saw it in my notes. And that's Trump taking the administration, a lot of bullish aspect into the market with them winning the Senate and the House in that case, and sort of having this momentum carried into the new couple of 4 years that's going to be sort of more crypto friendly, and how that evolves, I think, is going to be interesting. I was reading a few articles over the weekend around there's some tax benefits coming to a lot of the Web3 and the blockchain startups building in America as well. So I think there's a lot of advantages that might just continue in that momentum. So yeah, there's something to look forward for. And depending on how the retail market and how sticky inflation is and wage growth, I think there's a lot more money that should be circulating in the crypto market.
For me, perhaps the big story of the year was the institutions climbing into ETFs, exchange-traded funds. I mean, the flow of funds into Bitcoin ETFs in a single year, that was last year, that broke all previous records for ETFs. Do you see that continuing in 2025?
Yeah, I think that the trend would likely continue, and that's just an option for, I would say, the less sophisticated investor or the newbie investor into the crypto market looking to get exposure. And with that comes sort of that ETF, having the opportunity to enter the market, something more trusted, or the custodian being one of the more larger institutions, instead of having maybe a cold wallet or a hot wallet that you're using on an exchange, or a MetaMask wallet in that example as a cold. I think you don't have to worry about that security as much with your private keys when it comes down to just buying and selling an ETF. There's lots of opportunities, particularly in the ETF market, with the volume and the scale in which it has grown. And that's also created arbitrage opportunities for the more sophisticated trader, particularly looking at the NAV and where fund managers are currently positioned to actually price at the end of the day with the six exchanges. So I think a lot of people who haven't noticed it yet, and this is also some insight, is while current ETFs are priced, I think, on six exchanges, which are their primary exchanges they have to price on, Binance is not included in that pricing, to my knowledge. And I think with Binance holding 40% of the retail market volume and sort of, I would say, controlling price discovery, there leaves that arbitrage opportunity to find the less liquid market in which those ETFs are pricing against, and sort of buying low and selling high on Binance and vice versa. So there's opportunities that exist there. And I think options, the more sophisticated products, would eventually sort of create this the market anticipation, but also really create volumes both in derivatives, open interest, funding rates. So I think there's a lot more growth in that BTC ETF market.
Okay, let's look at how Bitcoin performed against traditional markets. It wasn't a bad year for the S&P, for the JSE, but maybe just take us through the numbers. And I guess the outperformance of Bitcoin yet once again is putting pressure on the institutional managers, the pension fund managers, to get some exposure to the crypto market.
Agreed. I think Bitcoin closed around about 120-odd%, and then that followed was gold, and then it was large cap tech stocks. I think that was the ranking, if I remember. And I think gold was up there primarily because of the geopolitical tension that continued to play out and continues to play out in the space. But when we're looking at the regulatory environment, I think our governor also, they asked him at the World Economic Forum the other day, would he consider it a reserve or some sort of reserve in the central bank? And I think he made a good argument. In would you put beef reserves in your central bank, which was kind of funny. But when we look at Regulation 28 and pensions going into the market, I think that really kicked off a conversation. I know you did an article on it. Fazam of Vala really dropped that idea onto Twitter and got everyone going, or X got everyone going up in sort of excitement. But I think it gives the FSCA something to think about, particularly where do they stand in terms of the crypto market, and would they allow sort of pensions to act at maybe a threshold in terms of you need to have maybe a percentage in crypto as an asset class, and your due diligence has to be really thorough, or maybe just limiting it at present to only cryptos that are ETF. Have ETFs in place. So I think there's a lot of evolution to actually happen in the South African market. I think the FSCA is quite far behind in terms of their thinking, and their legacy thinking should not be sort of, I would say, just put down, because there's lots of security that goes into that legacy thinking in which the experience has. But welcoming the new guys into the market and having these ideas in terms of what the market's doing can really help them really solve this issue of can pensions come into the market? Can pensions come into the market and evolve with crypto? I think everyone's looking to have some sort of exposure. And if we see that retail market evolution happening in South Africa continue, I think there's more danger in terms of being rug pulled. There's more risk of people not investing their money properly into maybe meme coins, or not having the education in terms of investing in more riskier coins. And I think that's where the bigger, the more macro risk lays for the FSCA if they sort of don't change the way they look at Regulation 28 and the crypto market as well.
Right. So a reform or a change in Regulation 28 to allow pension funds to invest in Bitcoin, you would see that as actually a safety valve, because it would allow funds to be invested in the more reputable coins like Bitcoin and then perhaps Ethereum, and might avoid some of the more dodgy coins, the meme coins out there, which are extremely volatile and really don't have any backing other than, you know, some popular support for a period of time.
Agreed. I think everyone that I experienced in the market and that have been talking about crypto, whether it be bull, bear, or sideways market, I think you would notice a lot of the public or your friends or your family have reached out to you and they've asked you, how do you trade Bitcoin and how do you do this and how do you do that? And there's a lot of YouTube videos on how to trade these cryptos, but that's a big risk when you have a undereducated investor trying to dabble in some high-risk assets. And whether that be, yeah, meme coins and all these other new coins that come into play and not understand what their white paper's about, what their technology is about, and really either getting rug pulled and in the long run, the pension funds having some sort of allocation. I don't think they would exceed more than 2% at a given time. I think the quants will have a field day sort of getting that pricing right as well. So I think having some sort of exposure in the long run, there's some sort of advantage there. And pension funds are looking at greater than 20 years in terms of a horizon for an individual. So there's opportunity that lays there. And I think there's a lot more research that needs to be done from the quants that sit in the pension funds.
And from where you're sitting, are you seeing a lot of support for ETFs among traditional fund managers? I mean, you look at the performance of the NASDAQ, that was up 28% last year. The S&P 500 was up 23%. The Dow up 13% for 2024. And there you got Bitcoin, you mentioned 120%. The outperformance of Bitcoin over any period of time that you look at is quite something, and this is being noticed in the traditional fund space. Are you seeing that there's pressure coming from traditional managers to get some kind of foothold into the Bitcoin space?
So I haven't seen, from a South African perspective, I haven't seen a lot of fund managers look at crypto aggressively. I when I've spoken to some of them are exploring the idea, looking at options, but none of them actually have said they're actively going to participate in the market as yet. However, talking to a lot more of the offshore investors that are either long funds or anything like that, these hedge funds, there's more appetite, particularly because I think that their structure allows it, their type of investor and their liquidity provider is someone that allows it. And they're willing to adjust their mandate accordingly to support that. But from a South African context, I think we're still sort of getting there. And I think everyone's fund managers are sort of aligning how can they prevent a massive drawdown or a sideways movement in Bitcoin, for example, if the cycle repeats itself where we see these massive drawdowns of 80% from all-time highs.
Let's talk about XRP. It's a bit of an interesting sleeper in the crypto space. It's issued by a company called Ripple. It was fined $125 million by the Securities and Exchange Commission for allegedly selling unregistered securities, though there's a lot of controversy about that decision. Now, there's a new head at the SEC under Donald Trump. His name is Paul Atkins, and he appears to be a huge fan of crypto. XRP, as I mentioned in the beginning, that jumped more than 300% in 2024. Explain why that is, why it jumped so much.
So fundamentally, for the guys that haven't been following XRP, and I know we're going to have tons of XRP maxis that are also listening to the podcast as well. So for the guys that don't know, XRP was fined by the SEC, and the case sort of started in late or mid 2020. And their case from the SEC was under two aspects in terms of how was the XRP token sold. It was sold with sort of this aspect of getting money in, and it's sold as a security. So the case eventually evolved from 2020 to 2025 with the key sort of aspect coming out saying that in the retail market, I think the programmatic sort of aspect of it in the case, if I remember, was the aspect that the retail investor wasn't actually sold a security because there were sort of terms for that fell under some analysis that they did, which was called the Howey rule, I think it was. And that was to classify if an asset under the SEC is a security or not. However, because in the retail eyes, the XRP token wasn't really sold in terms of there's marketing and there's advertising and so forth to anticipate the buyer to come into the market, the investment side was where they sold to institutions were more fell under the Howey sort of rule, which the SEC uses. And this was that there was marketing, there was advertising, there was more structured in terms of getting an institutional buyer to buy into the token And that's where sort of this case is ongoing. And we saw the, I don't think there's any sort of final aspect or judgment on the case, but there's more optimism in the market when looking at, with Paul Atkins in the seat, there's a greater chance of these, of XRP actually winning the case or the case being dropped by the SEC because they were overstepping in some sort of light. And this really sets the precedent or sets the ground going forward for other crypto companies in the market in the US, particularly looking at they're selling their securities, selling their tokens on exchanges, selling their tokens as governance tokens, or any sort of utility. And that opportunity would really sort of propel the market forward. On top of that, XRP's utility fundamentally is, or the goal of them is to replace the SWIFT network. And to people in finance, we know the SWIFT network is used for money remittance and sort of any communication across the financial network. For people that are new to the finance aspect, this technology of the SWIFT network is a legacy system. It's known and been used for years across treasury functions of a business or intermediary in South Africa, as well as to the banks. And what this XRP token really does is it plugs in this technology where transactions can be concluded in less than 5 minutes doing cross-border transactions. And with the XRP stablecoin in line with this XRP ledger technology, it really streamlines cross-border payments, really also making it quite difficult for the legacy systems to adapt to more higher frequency, more efficient payment networks. And I think that's what Paul Atkins and the Trump administration would likely aim to do is open banks up to this new technology to really keep ahead of how AI is evolving, how the more macro trends in technology is evolving to support payments and globalization.
Okay, just changing gear, we recently carried a story on MoneyWeb in making the case for simply following the trend. And that's based on a book by Alex Craner. He makes a fairly compelling case that trends will continue much longer than common sense would dictate. And he makes the example there of, for example, oil prices in the 1990s. People expected it to drop to $20. In fact, it halved from there. It went from $20 to $10, going on for a year longer than most analysts expected. And the same goes for many other markets when you start looking at them. His point is that successful investors should just follow the trend and not try to guess how long it's going to go and where it's going to go. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think if as an investor and all types of investors listening to the podcast today, I think it's timing the market is very difficult. Time in the market is quite successful, whether you're dollar cost averaging or you're just sort of making using the different technologies and investment strategies available. The time in the market over a long period of time makes you quite successful. Looking at the crypto market, for example, I think if you dollar cost averaging over a period of time, I think it was 20 years, there was a weird stat, you would still average around about 110% in the crypto market or just investing in Bitcoin. There was something weird that there's a stat on this. And but the just playing the market and getting your time in the market, if you're looking at a 25, 30 year horizon, you're really going to see the compounding aspect of your investment really work. And for the guys that are looking at this long run and playing in the crypto market, look at opportunities that exist in staking. So we're seeing this volatility that's really accelerating. And staking is another opportunity that looks at lending your money into these exchanges as well. So following the trend is, it's good. It allows you to identify the right sort of time to get into the market. But when you look at the bigger picture of things, I think you're more set on just all those events would just eventually happen over time. There's nothing you can do to stop it. And just playing out that trend is and just holding money, either balancing your portfolio in a combination of cash as well as investments. I think there's opportunity there.
Finally, Shivan, let's just look at some of the stories and themes that we should probably look out for in 2025. What do you think are going to be the big stories at the end of the year?
So big focus on my radar is tokenization. Tokenization, not in sort of the boring aspect of property, which we've already seen, and other assets. And I'm really focusing on what institutions are doing with tokenization and the chains and the protocols that are involved in this trust that institutions are giving them. So for example, I would say just moving securities, bonds, letters of credits, trade finance. A lot of trade finance, I think, would become popular. The technologies that support that evolution is going to be really good. Real-world assets of bonds from treasuries, for example, I think are going to become quite popular. The guys providing that technology are going to be quite fruitful if you get into their governance tokens, because they would obviously have that opportunity. But then as we look over the year, I think AI is going to be far ahead than where we are now. And Kiran, it was something you and I were talking about, is where we are in sort of AI now is likely 1996 of Google or the internet when they started. So I think if that's a case, then there's a long way to go. And I think China released their AI over the weekend. I think it was called Deep R1 or something, Deep Stark or something like that. And that's been outperforming, and I see a lot of people talking about it, and that's open source technology. So I think there's a lot of evolution in AI, and Web3 companies that are playing in this AI space are just going to continue to unlock value, which would likely see. So keep an eye on the AI trends, Web3 companies that are playing in this AI space.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, Shivan Mudli, macro strategist at 88.
Thanks, Kiran.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kiran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.